Good morning and welcome to worship here at West End. We're so glad each of you is here this morning. I have a few announcements for you this morning. So on the back of the insert, there is an announcement inviting you to sign a petition asking Governor Haslam not to resume executions. Well, the Supreme Court this week ruled on Thursday that no executions will be set before June 1st. So this petition is no longer needed. Please join us next Sunday, March the 25th, at 4:30 p.m. for the Beethoven Festival. It's featuring Beethoven's monumental Mass in C major. So we hope you'll join us for that next Sunday afternoon. But this Sunday afternoon, you have an opportunity to walk the prayer labyrinth with the Taze worship service. That's gonna be in the fourth floor at 5 o'clock p.m. So please join us for that this evening. The Great Day of Service signups are happening today in Reed Hall. The Great Day of Service will be the Sunday after Easter. That's April the 7th. No, the Saturday after Easter, April the 7th. So we'll join together and serve in different nonprofits around Nashville. So make sure you sign up today to get your spot to be a part of that amazing event. After the late service, we'll have lunch with the college students. So we'll go and find lunch around and build our community. After this service, our Andrew ministers are offering a tour of West End United Methodist, so you can go and see some of the nooks and crannies that you haven't been to yet. They're going to meet at the first library doors. That's just outside of Reed Hall. I mean, just outside of these doors in Reed Hall. They'll gather right there at the first library door. And last but not least, today is Daffodil Day. What's Daffodil Day, you might ask? Well, it was started by Virginia Holliday, and she wanted to deliver a bright vase of daffodils to our homebound members so that we might show God's love to them. So you have the opportunity to pick up a bud vase in the gym. That's right through the sliding glass doors. In the gym downstairs, pick up a bud vase and an address with a name on it and deliver a vase of flowers to one of our homebound members. I hope that you'll take an opportunity to do that after this service, and then also we'll provide an opportunity after the late service. Take a moment. Look around you. The image of God is everywhere.
act on the Word of God. Let us learn to embrace the Word of God, the perfect law that frees our souls.
May we come God's liberty.
In confession, we acknowledge together how we have turned away from the path of Christ. Let us pray together. Lord, your word calls us to acts of generosity, peace, and grace, but too often we neglect opportunities to improve the welfare of others. We offer good intentions instead of time or money. We give goodwill instead of a helping hand. Let us remember the freedom found in your word as we respond to your promise that by serving others, we will find ourselves in the perfect mirror of your love. Take comfort in the forgiveness that is freely given to you by the one who first served us. Let the love of Christ fill you with generosity, peace, and grace. Amen. This morning, you might notice that our passing of the peace will look a little bit different. Instead of saying, "The peace of Christ be with you," we're invited to say, "The image of God is in you," and the response is, "And also in you." So friends, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The image of God is in you. Let's share that blessing with one another.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Epistle of James. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves, and on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
If there's any other children that want to come down and join me, I'd love to have you.
Good morning.
So I brought a mirror this morning because in our scripture passage, James, the author of James, the book of the Bible, talks about a mirror. Okay, so when you look into the mirror, what do you see? We'll use this side, it's easier. What do you see? Yourself. You see an image of yourself. Well, I know you can see that the nose is in the center of your face, you know, and each of you has hair and those types of things. But also, And this might not always be reflected in a mirror, but also there is another image in us. There's the image of God inside of us, and that's the love. So if you look into the mirror, sometimes, you know, you can see your face and everything. But if you look deeper, you might be able to see the love of God in your face. And then, if you look into a mirror, maybe with your mom or your dad or one of your friends, you might be able to see the love of God in their face and in their life. And so we get to share that love with each other. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much that you love us so much that you put your image inside of us and that we get to share that with others. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming down. So right now we're in a sermon series about why we do what we do. We talked about why we pray, we talked about why we worship, why we remember, and today we're talking about why we serve. Why do we put our faith into action? Well, the first answer that comes to my mind is because it's the right thing to do. It's a good thing to do. Making the world a better place is a good thing to do. But that might lead down a slippery slope into you should serve, which is not what I'm trying to do this morning. Another great reason we might serve is because it's fun. It makes me feel good. When I go and get to experience something new, maybe make a new relationship or see the world in a new way, that's fun and exciting. And so that's also a really good reason to serve. Another reason that comes to mind, actually from why we give, is because we've been given so much and that we have an opportunity to give back the things that we've been given to others, which is also a wonderful reason to serve. But if I was giving a speech to the United Way or an NGO or a social service organization, I could use any of these examples. So why do we serve as Christians? Why is that important? Well, an obvious answer that we might learn in Sunday school is because Jesus served. So why do you think Jesus served? In the scriptures, across the Gospels, Jesus kept saying over and over again, "The kingdom of God is at hand." And John the Baptist before him said the same thing, "Repent, believe, the kingdom of God is at hand." Jesus, God on earth, was bringing about the kingdom of God on earth, continually making all things new and creating on this earth, reconciling on this earth. See, we serve for the same reason that Jesus did, because we have the image of God in us, and we are bringing about the kingdom of God on earth. We turn to James this morning to teach us a little bit about Christian action. James has kind of gotten a bad rap over Christian history, especially with Martin Luther, who was head of the Reformation. He thought that James should be removed from the Bible. It bumped up against one of his main tenets of faith, one of his main doctrines, which was we are saved by faith alone. That nothing we could ever do, good or bad, could make God love us any less, that we are saved through our faith in Christ. And I believe that. But I also think that James teaches us a deeper reason to serve, this deeper reason that I've given. In chapter 2, he says, "Faith without works is dead." But I chose a verse in chapter 1 that uses a metaphor of mirror. He says, "Those who hear the word but don't do anything about it are like looking into the mirror, seeing the image, and walking away and completely forgetting what you see." In antiquity, mirrors would have been a shiny piece of metal that would have been polished really, really a lot. And you could see the reflection of yourself in that metal. Depending on your socioeconomic level during that day, you might have had a better piece of metal and shiny polish or not. So you might have actually been able to forget what you look like. But in today's society and culture, we have reflective images everywhere. We have lots of glass. We have mirrors in our cars. Your phone, when it's turned off, is actually a reflection. You can see your face, let alone all the images that we post on ourselves on social media. It's actually kind of hard to forget what we look like. So I want to extend the metaphor beyond just your nose and your eyes and your hair. What image do you see of yourself when you look in the mirror? And when you turn this mirror around and you look at the world, how do you see creation? How do you see God in this world? I think that the answer to that is very important about why it is that we serve. And so I want to explore those beliefs about ourselves and the world through three confessions that I have about why I sometimes struggle to serve. The first reason is because I look at this world and I see how messed up it is. Like, it's violent and it's messy and there's systematic injustice and oppression that has existed from way before I was born. And I look and I'm like, what do I do? Where do I begin? How do I start? And there's books about when helping hurts and all of these things, and I'm not always sure that my actions are actually helping. And I get overwhelmed by that. But then I hold up the mirror to creation and to this world, and I say, what am I seeing there? Did God just create the earth, whether it was in 7 days or with a big bang or whatever is happening, God just create and then leave it be? Kind of standing over here, maybe like seeing if how things are going, maybe being a little puppet master. Or is God on this earth, active, creating, making all things new? I see it in spring, the daffodils that pop up in my yard. I see it in relationships where God is helping us forgive and reconcile. I see that God is still creating in this world. And so it's not up to me to be the savior of this messy world. It's me participating with God who is still creating. And maybe even seeing myself as a co-creator, as the hands and feet of Christ. God is still working in this world. My second confession about why I struggle to serve sometimes, and this can be slippery in all areas of life, but I sometimes compare myself to others, or I compare the impact that they're having on the world with mine, and I say, well, I'll never be like that person. My impact isn't as great as theirs, so why bother? I think about this in light of the great historical service people in the world, but I also think about it in light of this congregation. There are some amazing servants in this congregation. One that comes to mind is Betty Nixon. She passed about 2 years ago, but she was an amazing political, social activist and community organizer who worked in the civil rights movement and helped this world, whether you were rich or poor or any race or background. And she did it in such a way, grace and confidence that she sort of exuded, that when Betty was in the room, you knew things were gonna get done. A few weeks ago, I was reading a book called Becoming Wise by Krista Tippett. And in it, she kind of compiles some of her interviews from her podcast on being. And she talks about a story that's shared by Rachel Naomi Remy. She was raised in the Jewish faith, and at her fourth birthday party, Rachel's grandfather, who's a rabbi, came and shared a story as his gift. The story goes like this. In the beginning of time, there was a holy darkness, and the earth was created, everything in it like a beam of light. And then something bad happened, and the light was broken up into 1,000 pieces, and the light was hidden in every person, event, and place. And then it's our job as humans to find the hidden light in ourselves and piece back together the hidden light in the world, that we are remembering that light in the world, putting it back together. I think about this light as the image of God. And for Christians, this is God, Jesus, inside of us. The Easter message being lived out, that God is making all things new. And so I think about if I talked to Betty today and I said, Betty Nixon, I admire so many things about you, but I'll never be like you. And she'll say, good. We don't need any more Betty Nixons in the world. We need you to be Nancy Hawthorne Parker. We need you to be yourself that has the image of God inside of you, to live out your calling, to connect the pieces of light inside with the light in the world. It reminds me of when Jesus talks to the sheep and the goats, where he says, when you served the least of these, those who were hungry, those who were sick in prison without clothes, you served me. It's connecting the image of God, Christ in us, with Christ in the world. And sometimes it's easier to see, to hold up the mirror to someone else and see the image of God in them than to turn around and say, here it is in me. I have everything I need to make a difference, to serve in this world. The last confession on why I don't serve sometimes is because I'm tired. Sometimes I don't have the time or the energy to do one more thing. But then I wonder if I've forgotten to hold up the mirror right where I am and to see where God is working right where we are. I was listening to a book on tape recently while I was driving by Rob Bell, a book called How to Be Here Now. And in it, he tells the story of a bus driver in Manhattan. And he works the shift at the end of the day, so people, after they've gotten off work, get on his bus. And his route, most people get off at the last stop before he drives over the river into Long Island. And so this bus driver, every day before folks get off at the last stop, says, if you want to leave your burdens here on this bus, if you want to leave something bad that happened to you today, I'll take it and I'll drive it over the river into Long Island so you don't have to take it back to the people that you love and the people that love you the most. So leave that here. And he opens the doors and everybody gets off the bus. I love this story because this bus driver sees his job as more than taking people from point A to point B. He recognizes that he has something to give, that he can help relieve a little bit of the burdens and the stress of the people that ride his bus. So for you, it might mean that you make sandwiches for your kids and put something extra for maybe someone that your kid has lunch with. For you, it might mean that you read a newspaper article or saw something on TV that made you very angry, and you want to use that anger as fuel to do something about it. For you, it might mean that you want to learn more about yourself and another culture, and so you go on an international mission trip, like our team that's going to Guatemala with ODIM. For you, it might mean that right after this service, you pick up a bud vase and you take daffodils to someone who still longs to be in community and relationship with this church, but is currently home. For you, it might mean that you sign up for the Great Day of Service and learn something new about Nashville, about a community in which you live. You see, when we hold up a mirror to see where God's working around us, our vision gets better and better over time to see how God is still creating and making things new. So next time you look into a mirror, what do you see? And I hope that you won't forget when you walk away. What helps remind us of our faith is professing our faith together. If you'll stand as you are able and turn to page 888 in your hymnal, we will recite an affirmation from two epistles. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn of the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles us to Christ. Amen.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share, please fill out one of the gray cards located in the pew racks in front of you. You may indicate on those cards whether you would like those prayers to remain confidential or if those prayers should be shared. And then you may place the cards in the offering plates in a few moments as they work their ways down the pews. We have two roses on our communion table this morning, and they are to honor two births that are related to this family of Christ. The first is Henry Davidson Crook, who was born on February 18th in Richmond, Virginia, to Susan and Paul Crook. And he is welcomed also by his grandparents Libba and Jerry Crook, and his uncles Matt and Ben Crook. And then the second rose is in honor of George Benton Whitaker, who was born on March 4th to Julia and Todd Whitaker. Let us now turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Creator God, you are the center of all that is. All things seen and unseen, all things known and unknown, find their genesis in you. Lord, as we come to you this day, we pray that you would reveal our truest selves, the greatest reason for our being and our living. Help us be servants of your kingdom. As we gaze in the mirror of your great love for us, help us see our vocation as bearers of your image. Reveal to us our nature as children of God, and empower us to live and love as those who know whose we are. Savior, tend to the cries of those who mourn, those who scream out for justice and mercy, and those who seek your righteousness. We pray this day for those around the world who suffer because of poverty, war, famine, political unrest, and many forms of oppression. Help us to hear their voices and to believe their stories. Where human efforts fall short of your love, and where evil seems to win the day, may your mercy and goodness prevail. May your presence be known. God of healing and peace, we pray for our country and our state, our city and our communities. Help us know and live among one another with grace and peace in our hearts. Send your Spirit to guide, empower, and love us into new ways of being, new ways of seeing, and new ways of caring for each other. We especially pray this week for the thousands of young persons who raised their voices this past week to declare the preciousness of their lives. Grant us and our leaders the wisdom to listen and the courage to work together to ensure that violence and death give way to hope and new life. Precious God, who loves us as a parent, who seeks us as a friend, and who sustains us in holy and loving care, we pray for this church family and for ourselves. Comfort all who struggle with sickness of body, mind, or spirit. May they sense the fullness of your caring embrace. Triune God, hear these our spoken prayers and all of the unspoken prayers that reside in our hearts as we enter a time of silent prayer. Hear us, O Lord, as we join our voices together in prayer as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As bearers of the image of God, we offer our gifts freely to the service of God's reign that comes on earth as it is in heaven.
carry the image of God, our Creator, finding Jesus in the world, making all things new through the volition and the creative power of the Holy Spirit. Be with you all now and forever. Amen.
Oh, peace, oh.